Old Star glowed in the notch of the key, a diamond caught in ash. "Help me find some guts," Eddie said. "That's my wish. Help me find the guts to try and finish this damned thing." He sat there a moment longer, then got to his feet and walked slowly back to camp. He sat down as close to the fire as he could get, took the gunslinger's knife without a word to either him or Susanna, and began to work. Tiny, curling slivers of wood rolled up from the S shape at the end of the key. Eddie worked fast, turning the key this way and that, occasionally closing his eyes and letting his thumbs slip along the mild curves. He tried not to think about what might happen if the shape were to go wrong. That would freeze him for sure. Roland and Susanna sat behind him, watching silently. At last, Eddie put the knife aside. His face was running with sweat. "This kid of yours," he said, "this Jake, he must be a gutty brat." "He was brave under the mountains," Roland said. "He was afraid, but never gave an inch."
"I wish I could be that way."
Roland shrugged. "At Balazar's, you fought well, even though they had taken your clothes. It's very hard for a man to fight naked, but you did it." Eddie tried to remember the shootout in the nightclub, but it was just a blur in his mind. Smoke, noise, and light shining through one wall in confused intersecting rays. He thought that wall had been torn apart by automatic weapons fire, but couldn't remember for sure. He held the key up so its notches were sharply outlined against the flames. He held it that way for a long time, looking mostly at the S shape. It looked exactly as he remembered it from his dream and from the momentary vision he had seen in the fire. But it didn't feel exactly right. Almost, but not quite.
"That's just Henry again. That's just all those years of never being quite good enough. You did it, buddy. It's just that the Henry inside doesn't want to admit it."
He dropped the key onto the square of hide and folded the edges carefully around it.
"I'm done. I don't know if it's right or not, but I guess it's as right as I can make it."
He felt oddly empty now that he no longer had the key to work on, purposeless and directionless.
"Do you want something to eat, Eddie?" Susanna asked quietly. "There's your purpose," he thought. "There's your direction, sitting right over there, with her hands folded in a lap. All the purpose and direction you'll ever..."
But now something else rose in his mind. It came all at once. Not a dream, not a vision.
No, not either of those. It's a memory. It's happening again. You're remembering forward in time. "I have to do something else first," he said, and got up.
On the far side of the fire, Roland had stacked some odd lots of scavenged wood. Eddie hunted through them and found a dry stick about 2 feet long and 4 inches or so through the middle. He took it, returning to his place by the fire, and picked up Roland's knife again. This time he worked faster because he was simply sharpening the stick, turning it into something that looked like a small tent peg.
"Can we get moving before daybreak?" he asked the gunslinger. "I think we should get to that circle as soon as we can."
"Yes, sooner if we must. I don't want to move in the dark. A speaking ring is an unsafe place to be at night. But if we have to, we have to."
"From the look on your face, big boy, I doubt if those stone circles are very safe any time," Susanna said.
Eddie put the knife aside again. The dirt Roland had taken out of the shallow hole he'd made for the campfire was piled up by Eddie's right foot. Now he used the sharp end of the stick to carve a question mark shape in the dirt. The shape was crisp and clear.
"Okay," he said, brushing it away. "All done." "Have something to eat, then," Susanna said.
Eddie tried, but he wasn't very hungry. When he finally went to sleep, nestled against Susanna's warmth, his rest was dreamless but very thin. Until the gunslinger shook him awake at 4 in the morning, he heard the wind racing endlessly over the plain below them, and it seemed to him that he went with it, flying high into the night, away from these cares, while Old Star and Old Mother rode serenely above him, painting his cheeks with frost.